So everybody can take their Bibles tonight, and you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. This is one of the shortest verses in the whole Bible. It says, pray without ceasing. Basically what it's saying is we should pray a lot. And that's what I'm going to teach on tonight is prayer time. Prayer time. And what we're exhorted to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is to pray a lot. It is a hyperbole. God doesn't expect us to spend every waking minute of our lives in prayer, but it is a very good idea to try to pray as much as we possibly can, right? We're exhorted to pray as much as we can. Many of us have more time on our hands these days. We can use that time to further our relationship with God, right? We can't go out, we can't gather together like we used to be able to right now, but we can use that time that we have to further our relationship with the Father. Prayer is so critical and fundamental to our relationship with God. It's literally our communication with Him, right? And when you think about what a privilege that is to be born again sons and daughters of God and to have access to God, you recognize what a privilege it is to be able to talk to Him, right? To just be able to talk to God is a tremendous privilege. To have access to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, to be able to have a conversation with Him, is huge. And like any person we know in our lives, our closeness with God is directly related to how much time we spend talking to Him. Right? If you think about any of your friends or family or anybody you know, your closeness to them is tied very much to how much time you actually spend communicating with that person, right? Getting to know them, fellowshipping with them, telling them about your day, asking them all kinds of questions. It's that sharing that builds a relationship. And it's no different with God, right? If we spend 5 minutes a day every morning when we first wake up, then that's going to be sort of a limiting factor in how well our relationship with God grows, right? And we want to grow that relationship with Him. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. 1 Chronicles 16, 8. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. So here's a few things we can do. We can thank God, right? We can say, hey, God, thanks for doing that. We can call upon His name, right? That means recognizing that God is there with us. And we can make known His deeds to other people. We can talk about God to other people. Verse 9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. A lot of us like to sing. Some of us maybe feel like they shouldn't sing. But we can sing to God, right? If we're humming a tune, we can sing to God. Verse 10, glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face, His presence continually. So that word face there is His presence, right? It's better translated presence. And at the end of verse 10, it says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And then we're implored to seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Has God left us? No. Has He gone anywhere? No. But this verse is telling us that we should seek Him. How do we do that? What does that mean? By simply acknowledging his presence. Okay? That's what it's talking about at the end of the verse there. Seek his presence continually. Right? To seek God is to acknowledge he's there. You know, wherever you go, God's there. He hasn't left us or forsaken us, right? But we can very well ignore God, right? We can spend a whole lot of time forgetting he's even there. So to seek him is to just recognize that God's there with you. Just wherever you might be like, oh yeah, hey God, what's up? What's up, God? Act like he's right there next to you the whole time. Right? When you think about, sometimes I think about my kids and they, when they were younger, they have imaginary friends, right? People that they would just talk to in their brains, right? The concept is kind of similar to God, except for he's not imaginary. He's really there. And you can just act like God's right there with you wherever you go. You can talk to him. You can fellowship with him, right? And praise and thanksgiving is just one type of prayer, right? To say, hey, thanks, God. That's just one type. Go to Psalm 5, verse 2. Psalm 5, verse 2. So when you think about your day, your average day, you know, what we want to try to do is think about how much of that day is spent acknowledging God. How much of that day is spent acting like he's right there with you. Right? And the key to a great relationship is to grow in that acknowledgement. Psalm 5:2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and we'll look up. So we can start our day with God, right? We can start our day with God. When we wake up, we can say, hey, God, what's up? Good morning. Even if the people next to us, they're still sleeping and we want to be quiet, we just say, hey, God, what's up? I'm awake. Good to see you. So when you wake up, we can start our day by talking to him. In Psalm 55, verse 17, tells us that it just doesn't have to be a morning thing. Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Right? The promise is that God will hear us. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. Yeah, it's great to start our day with God. But let's not forget about him throughout the day, right? We want to start our day with God, and we want to keep that relationship throughout the day, at noontime and in the evening, which is just a figure of speech meaning all of the time, right? Whenever is a good time. There is only one good time to pray, and that's all the time, right? That's all the time. So we can pray whenever we want to. Go to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. If we look at how Jesus Christ operated, what he did with his day, we get to see some cool stuff. Mark 1:35, it talks about what Jesus Christ did in his life, in his walk with God. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now, if you know anything about the watches and the way that time is reckoned in the Bible, a great while before day, which would be at sunrise, means it's still dark out. I hate the winter time because when my alarm clock goes off, it's still dark. But that's what Jesus Christ would do. He would get up before the sun ever came up. A great while before day. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So when Jesus Christ wanted to go get answers from God and wanted to go talk to God, he made time for it, a great while before day, when it's still dark and it stinks to be awake. He made time for God. And he went to a solitary place to go get quiet and do that. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. This is right before Jesus Christ chose the 12 apostles. Okay, that's a big decision. What did he do? Verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So ahead of this big decision, he went out to a mountain, another solitary place, and he spent all night in prayer to get answers from God. It wasn't just this thing where he spent 5 minutes and said, "Hey God, who's the 12 going to be? Okay, cool, I'm going to go grab some dinner now. You just let me know." He went and he spent time with God, right? He sat down and had a conversation with God, asking him who these 12 men should be, to give him wisdom and to give him guidance. He showed God the respect that he deserved in making that decision. And that means spending time with God. And he did it in a quiet place. In both of those instances, he found a quiet place alone to pray, right? It's good for us to find any time and place to pray, especially in a busy day. But it's also important to sometimes carve out that time to be alone with God. Find a quiet place where there aren't any distractions and really devote some of that quality time to you and God. He loves that stuff. Prayer doesn't have to be, or doesn't always have to be, you know, "God, I pray for this," and "God, I thank you for that." You know, that stuff is good too. We should do that. But prayer is also just talking with God, right? You say, "Good morning, God. Thanks for giving me another day. I love you so much, and thanks for loving me." Right? That's praying too. "God, I'm sad. You know, this crummy thing has got me bummed. Please help my heart to be joyful." That's a sharing with God, right? And that's prayer too. Or, "Man, God, I just don't know what to do in this situation. I don't have any idea about this at all. You know, can you give me a good idea to help me out with this?" Those are things that we can say to God. It doesn't have to be, you know, this formal thing, right? It's a conversation and a relationship with God, right? God wants to be friends with you. He wants to be friends with you. He wants to have a sweet relationship with you. And he's the kind of friend who wants to help you. Right? He's sitting there waiting for you to come talk to him because he wants to help. But he wants you to come find him, to acknowledge that he's there. Go to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. So those are things that we can work on in our own private prayer life, right? It's just having a conversation with God, just acknowledging that he's there, talking to him like a friend, because he really does care about you, right? He did all this so that we could have a relationship with him, right? He formed, made, and created people in the beginning to have a relationship with man. And then when man blew it, he came up with a plan so that man could be redeemed, so that he could once again have a relationship with us. Right? This is what God's always wanted. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him." Why? Because he cares for you. He wants us. His word literally tells us to throw all our cares his way. Right? He wants to hear about them. He wants to know what's on your heart. And the reason he does is because he cares about you. Because he wants to help. That's a God who loves us and who wants to take care of us. He says, "Hey, whatever it might be that's on your heart, are you feeling sad? Are you feeling stressed out? Are you feeling nervous or worried? Are you feeling anything but happy? Cast that care to me. I love you. I care for you." That's God's cry to us, right? And all we got to do is do it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. How great it is to have a relationship like that with God Almighty, Right? There's nothing that he can't or won't do for us according to his word. There's absolutely nothing he won't do. So whatever that situation may be, we can cast it to him. In Philippians 6, it says, be careful or anxious for nothing. So there's not one thing in your life that you should worry about or be anxious about. Nothing. Be anxious for not one thing. So whatever it is that could be on your heart, you don't have to worry about it. But instead, here's what you can do instead. Right? This is the big but of the verse. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So instead of that, you know, what you should be doing instead of worrying is to pray, to make that request to God, right? To pray to him. And we can do it with thanksgiving. We can say, thanks, God. Thanks for taking care of this for me, this thing that I've been kind of worrying about. I know you've got it. And this is what happens in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's so big we can't even comprehend it, will keep or guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So rather than being worried, we instead are peaceful. Right? The exact opposite of the situation. Instead of being worried, we get to be peaceful. And it's a peace that's so huge we can't even get it. But how great it is to just be peaceful. That's what will guard our hearts and mind. Right? And we activate all of that, it says, by prayer in verse 6. We activate that peace by prayer, by giving it to God. That's so cool. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Right? What a privilege and opportunity it is to live a peaceful life. Right? To live a life free of worries and anxieties. You know? Mental health is a huge issue these days. Huge. It's everywhere. And it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. But God's word promises peace. And it's been a promise forever. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Right? God does, he's not going to withhold any good thing from us, right? His request of us is that we seek, we knock, and we ask, right? And that's all about prayer. It's all about our requests being made known to God, to let him know. And it says in the word that God knows what's on our hearts before we even ask it. Right? It's not like he doesn't know. But what he wants is a relationship with you. He wants you to recognize him and recognize that he's there for you. He wants that love and that care from you, and that you seek, you ask, and you knock. Right? Go to Psalm 145, verse 18. Psalm 145, verse 18. How excited we should be that God Almighty wants to talk to us, right? A lot of people get really excited when they get the opportunity to meet a famous person. I got to talk to Beyonce is something I will never say. But people get excited about that stuff. And we get the opportunity to talk whenever we want to God, or the person, the being that created this all for us. And God can do more stuff than Beyonce. It's true. He can do more stuff than Drake. Yep, even Drake. Or who's a famous person that everybody likes? Tom Hanks. Everyone loves Tom Hanks. He's awesome. I would hug Tom Hanks if I saw him, and then probably get arrested. But God's still better than Tom Hanks. Right? That's pretty cool. So we should be excited that God's there with us all the time. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh, that means he's near, close by, unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Which is kind of cool, right? So the verse is saying it's all that who call upon him, and then it kind of clarifies it. All that call upon him in truth. So if I say, God, will you kill Beyonce for me? He's not going to do that. But if I call upon him in truth, according to his word, he'll hear me. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them, rescue them. Right? So God's there for us. He's ready, waiting. He'll hear us. All we have to do is call upon him. Psalm 70, verse 13. But the other key to that is that sometimes we have to do the thing that nobody likes to do anymore. I don't even like to do it. And that's to wait. It's to be patient. That's really hard. It's really hard sometimes. But it's something that we have to do. Sorry, Psalm 69, verse 13. There is no Psalm 70, 13. That would have been embarrassing. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. And as we know, these verses, all of the punctuation and things were added later on. So you can kind of dot a little period right there. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. End of sentence. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Okay? And the word hear there is the word answer. Okay? Should be the word answer. And in the truth of thy salvation means with your sure salvation. Right? Your sure deliverance. So I will read it as it should have been written. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. Period. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, answer me. In or with your delivering or sure salvation. Right? So we should pray to God. But it's in an acceptable time. It's when it's right, the right time. And who knows when the right time is? Not me. I think I might know when the right time is. I think I want the right time to be right now. Right? But that's not how it works. Right? The acceptable time is acceptable to God. Right? It's on his terms. Have you ever had somebody ask you for something and then insist that it be right away? Right? How does that make you feel? Like, oh, could you do this for me? And can you do it like right now? Right? We don't want to be like that. That's not how we want to be towards God. Right? We want to make our requests made known to him, but we want to also understand, and we need to understand that we have to be patient sometimes. A lot of times. That in the acceptable time, God will answer us. Right? We need to be patient for God's answer. Go to 37, Psalm 37, verse 1. And so that's a big key to your walk in your prayer life with God, is to be patient. To be patient. You can look at lots of records in the Bible where men of God prayed for things and waited a long time. Not just like days, not just like weeks, but years and decades. Right? When it was the acceptable time, God answered that prayer. And that's what we have to be mindful of. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So those verses are basically saying, don't worry about what other people are doing, okay? Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Neither be envious. You know, don't look at other people who are seem to be prospering or things seem to be going well in their lives and get envious. But instead, we just trust in God, right? He will supply our needs. He will take care of those things. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That's the promise. We can waste a whole lot of time looking at what other people have, or how other people are treated, or how comparing ourselves to how other people live or behave, or other people even look at other people and not us, right? But that's all wasted time. God says that if we delight in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. We commit, verse 5, commit our ways unto God. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteous as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And that's hard sometimes. But we can rest knowing that God will be there, that he will answer when the time is right. We just wait patiently for him. And we don't fret. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. So maybe you are expecting an answer to prayer much faster than it's come so far. But don't start looking around at what other everybody else is getting and think, oh, the answer's not coming for me. You know, John over there is getting everything he wants. Right? We have to wait on God, rest knowing that he will answer us. Go to James chapter 5, verse 16. So we can't get caught up in the circumstances around us, right? It's all a trick of the adversary. The adversary runs the world, right? He wants to do everything he can to get you to doubt God. So he'll put all kinds of shiny objects in front of your face to get you to think that's the better way to go. That's the only thing he can do. He can't stop you going to heaven, right? He can't stop the fact that you're born again. So all he can do is try to distract you from your relationship with God. That's the only weapon he's got left. He's really good at it. But we just have to be mindful, trust in him, to wait on him. We're going to close in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the last part of that verse is really cool, because it's the powerful, continued prayer of a righteous person is a force. Right? That is a super literal translation. Our continued prayer is a force to be reckoned with, right? It accomplishes a lot, right? Whether it's we're taking our time out to pray every day with all the other believers for this COVID situation and God's keeping us all safe, we pray for the country, we pray for the other believers. All of that stuff accomplishes things we'll never see, right? But God knows. And it allows God to work in those situations because we as believers have a relationship with him. And that's what energizes our believing and our ability with God. Ultimately, that's the whole point of it. A relationship with God energizes our ability with Him, right? We want to see signs, miracles, and wonders. We want to see things come to pass. We want to get revelation. All of that starts with a relationship with God. And at the core of that is prayer. Time spent with Him, recognizing that He's there, and just talking to Him, having that relationship with God.